Welcome to this podcast brought to you by the Vatican Observatory Foundation. I'm your host, Bob Trembley. I'm a volunteer NASA JPL Solar System Ambassador, the first Vice President of Michigan's Warren Astronomical Society, and an internet factotum for the Vatican Observatory Foundation. This podcast comes from a recording of one of our monthly full moon meetups with the Vatican Observatory staff and Sacred Space Astronomy subscribers. Sacred Space Astronomy is the Vatican Observatory's online community. We have several astronomers and scholars who write articles on our website about astronomy, space science, and faith in science. Every full moon, the Vatican Observatory Foundation hosts a Zoom meetup for our Sacred Space Astronomy subscribers. Typically, our guest will be a member of the Vatican Observatory staff or an affiliated researcher, and they'll tell us about the research they're doing and the journey that led them to the Vatican Observatory. Brother Guy Consolmagno, director of the Vatican Observatory and president of the Vatican Observatory Foundation, will typically talk with our guest, and our Sacred Space Astronomy subscribers can ask them questions. Unfortunately, Brother Guy was unavailable for this recording, so I hosted the session with Katie. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this meetup. Our guest today is Katie Steinecke. I did get that pronunciation right, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, it's right. No, my husband used to beat people up if they called him Stinky. So it's Steinecke. Thank you.
Yikes. Yeah, and all the time I've known you, it's never occurred to me to call you Stinky, and I don't think I'm going to start. When we first asked Katie to be a guest on this meetup, her response was, me?
Really?
Katie was the development director at the Vatican Observatory Foundation when I started working there in 2014, and I worked with her practically every day, and I gotta say, she was an absolute pleasure to work with.
Thank you.
So how and when did you meet the Spiekele astronomers?
Okay, well, that was 42 years ago, so, you know, there's some things I don't remember. That was in 1980. I had to check with my kids and Margarita, who's now has an 18-year-old son, said, yeah, I was in fourth grade, so I was 10 years, 1980. We lived in Ariccia. I lived in Italy for 30 years. I went over junior abroad and didn't come home for a really long time. But my parents had nine other kids. So at one point, we moved from northern Italy, Padua. I lived in Genoa, Brescia, and Padua after school in Rome. And then in 1980, we moved to outside Rome. We couldn't find anything quickly in Rome. So we moved to a little town called Ariccia, which is across Lake Albano from Castel Gandolfo. And since my family has an uncle who was a Jesuit, of course, my grandparents were very close to the Jesuits. My uncle Lou's middle name was Ignatius, you know, so what's he supposed to do when he grows up? He became a Jesuit, and two of my dad's cousins were Jesuits. We have a family place, and it's called Loyola Lodge. I mean, so when I was in Rome, I was there from Santa Clara, but working with Loyola of Chicago, going to school there. So it's all Jesuit oriented. And one of my friends in Rome, who worked for the Jesuits, ran their Jesuit guest bureau, said, hey, you live right up there on up in the mountains up there, right around Lake Albano. Check out the Vatican Observatory guys. Most of them are Americans. Just go over and knock on the Papal Palace. Yeah, right. But I did. Yeah, knock on the big door. So I drove over and parked someplace, and this piazza is beautiful. If any of you have seen, you've seen pictures, I know Paul Gabor has been there for sure, and Juan Pablo has, and Chris Graney, and Tina, and Jim too, yeah, Father Jim. They've been all to Italy, some of them with me. So there's the Papal Palace is at the end of this piazza in Castel Gandolfo, and of course, the front doors are about two stories tall, made out of wood. They've got little doors in them. But so I just went up and knocked on the door and met George Coyne. And that was really cool. And I, since I lived there for a year nearby, you know, I just drive over, knock on the door, and the Swiss guards would say, oh, buongiorno, signora, come on in. And I'd make a cappuccino and then go up and, you know, see if I could. I couldn't go when the Pope was there. But so that's how I started back in 1980 to, you know, my involvement with the Vatican Observatory. And George Coyne was a very good friend of mine. My kids used to call him Father Penny, you know, Coyne, you know, whatever. And my granddaughter at one point, he was giving a talk in at the Los Angeles Seminary up near where I lived then. And my granddaughter, we were about five adults, and George saw that Ginevra was really, really bored. She was like three or four years old. So he pretended he was a monkey. So she for years called him Monkey Man, you know, and remembered him fondly for years and years. So Father Monkey Man. He also was fun. We lived after the year in Ariccia, we moved to Formello, which was outside Rome, but north a little ways, while I was the dean of students at Loyola's junior year abroad program in Rome. Christmas one year, I'd have a bunch of relatives over, and Father Coyne came as well. You know, we had 26 people, and I'm doing dinner and doing all this stuff. And then I come down with dessert, and there's nobody there. And I'm going, well, excuse me, they were all outside stargazing with Father Coyne, you know, and it was really cool. It was amazing. And also another time, he made a real hit in the neighborhood because we lived out kind of in the country, and he couldn't find the keys to the normal Fiat. So he borrowed one of the Pope mobiles kind of from Castel Gandolfo. It was an old black limousine with the Vatican flags on the front corners, you know, that would wave. And he parked it in front of my house, right? And my kids and some of the neighborhood kids, I don't think George ever found this out, sat in there and pretended they were the Pope going, you know, it's anyway, in the back seat. Anyway, so we had a lot of fun with him. And when I was at Loyola's Rome Center, I talked him into teaching a weekly astronomy class. So the students could get a science elective that they could use towards graduation because they were all juniors in college, and that was the only science we could provide. So Father Coyne was there once a week for at least that year when he was able to do that.
I never got a chance to meet Father Coyne, which is a shame. Do you happen to know what concepts in astronomy he was teaching these students?
I don't know, but they all loved him, and he gave pretty good grades, I think. It was, you know, like a Wednesday night from 6 to 9. No, but he was good. He, you know, he's a family friend, and came to my dad's funeral and stuff like that. So, of course, I've known him forever. Because of that, when I was in Ariccia, especially, but in Rome until like 98, when I moved back to the States, when any relatives or friends would come to visit, I'd go, so, hey, you want to go over to the Vatican Observatory? You want to go to the Papal Palace and go through the Vatican Gardens and all that stuff and see the Pope's white donkeys and, you know, things like that. Of course we did. So often my dad would come over for things. Yeah, you know, sure, okay. My kids got to know the lay of the land pretty well, but I also had one of my nieces who now has like two teenage kids. Somebody there, I might have been George, might have been one of the other guys, let her move the platform around on one of those old machines, you know, one of the old domes, and she broke it, or it broke. And she still tells every time I see her, she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. So those were things we got to do. Well, my grandfather started a gear business in San Francisco, and then it got bigger and bigger. And except for my uncle, the Jesuit, all the five brothers worked at Western Gear Corporation. And they did gears, winches, gearboxes, all that kind of stuff. And they also built two of the yokes on two telescopes, the one at Cerro Tololo, I think you say it in Spanish, and the other one is on Kitt Peak. They also built the dome around the Oscar Mayer telescope at Palomar, and they did some things for the Apollo thing. So they were in energy, space, stuff like that. So when Father Coyne needed some funds to build the VAT, he contacted my dad. And my dad, of course, did help. There were 12 donors that gathered $5 million and built the Vatican Advanced Technology back in the end of, 1986, 87. So dad said, sure, I'll help you, but my oldest brother, because dad was the youngest of 10, my oldest brother, Tom, only has one child. I have 10 kids. So, and I put them all through college. So I think Uncle Tom would be better. And Uncle Tom did fund, he was the number two donor for the construction. And his granddaughter, Karen Dalby, and husband, Ben Dalby, have been on the board until I think last year or the year before. They've been contributing every year from Uncle Tom's foundation. So the family's been involved, and Uncle Tom's name is on the facility attached to the astrophysics facility attached to the telescope on Mount Graham. So that's kind of how I got involved. And that's a whole lot of information, but that's how we got involved. And then I moved back to the States, and then and things moved on.
When I started working for the Vatican Observatory Foundation in 2014, you were its development director at that time. How long had you had that position, and how did you come by it?
About 10 years, I think. I think I moved back in like 98, and then in 2008, I moved back also because my first marriage fell apart, and then I married an American a couple of years after I got back here, but unfortunately, he passed away in 2006. So in 2008, I was doing small group tours to Rome for like the Jesuit high school here in Los Angeles. And the Dalbys, again, my cousins, the granddaughter of Tom Bannon, said, hey, you should do our Rome tours. So I did the first a Rome tour first. And then Father Coyne said, well, we don't have a development program, so I think you need to do that. And I go, well, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that. And so we learned together. The foundation hired a company that trained me, and we ended up finally getting a database and, mailing programs and appeals and all that, and set up a real foundation. The foundation was established, in 1986, in order for those major donors to be able to consider that a donation. Telescopes offers in 1993, Paul, correct?
Well, I mean, that was the year of the dedication. It didn't actually do anything useful for about 18 months after the dedication.
But that's okay. We'll call it 1993. And then, so we'll have a big party next year in September 2023.
Right.
Yeah. So I did the first Rome tour. So I spoke Italian, and I lived in Italy for 30 years. So, knew these guys. So it worked out very well. And I know that several of you have been with me. Father Jim was there with us once. The Grainies, both of them came once. Jim Wren, it was great. Because of the Vatican Observatory connections, which I hope we may do another one next year, we're talking about it. I've been to see, of course, the Vatican Museums, the Tower of the Winds, where they showed Pope Gregory the something, with the meridian coming in. And so they changed it, they developed the Gregorian calendar. And that's up on the third floor, the top floor of the Vatican Museums. And in order to get there, we had to go through the secret archives. And that was pretty interesting. And we've had dinners in the museums in the Etruscan and Roman area of the Vatican Museums. We had cocktails and dinner there. And, it's an amazing experience. I've been so lucky, these perks, they pay me to do this. It was just crazy. And so we did a lot of that. That was how I started. I did the first Rome tour, and then we did them every other year after that. So then I worked first with Father Coyne as the president of the foundation, then with Father DiIulio, and then with Brother Guy. So I've worked with three presidents of the foundation. I've been to Mount Graham several times. I even drove up there once and been in all those telescopes, especially the LBT is one of my favorites, the large binocular telescopes. I just want to go at night when they open it up and take those big eyeballs out. Mount Hopkins, and we saw the MMT. I've been in the mirror lab, and I hope some of you have been able to do some of this. the mirror lab under the football stadium in Tucson, where they're making those giant mirrors. The mirrors are huge. We had a picture taken with Brother Guy and Buell Januzzi, the director of the Stewart Observatory, and Sister Raffaella Petrini from Rome, and Paul Gabor was there as well, with in front of one of these mirrors. And we looked like these like little bitty things. They're huge. It's amazing what they're doing in there. And the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope has the prototype, the first mirror made that way with the spinning pizza oven deal. And of course, when I was doing development, I would explain this to donors that the Vatican telescope was made by an angel, Roger Angel, in an old synagogue, you know, so it was kind of cool. So let's see, what else have I done? I've met a lot of the steward staff. They've been wonderful working with, like, for example, CJ, Chris Johnson. He's one of the techie guys, and he helped me set up a whole program for this. We had a STEM program for a while for high school kids. They could connect. He set it up so they could see what the guys were doing in the remote observing lab and on the mountain.
That sounds fantastic.
It was hard to keep that going because of the kids' schedules and the astronomer schedules, but it was great. The kids loved it. And Buell Januzzi and Chris Impey, I've met him. And another one who helped a lot was Carl Hergenrother, who works a lot with Father Kikwaya. He's the one that said, hey, come over and have coffee. And he explained his STEM program, how that would work, because he was doing a lot of work in the remote observing lab with Father Jean-Baptiste. Anyway, so, I mean, I keep going on kind of a train of...
No, that's perfect. I knew you'd have a ton to share.
Well, I know, but there's a little bit more detail. I've been thinking about it going, oh, I got to tell them about this. Yes. Anyway, so that's what I've done when I, development director, I ran around the country with Father Coyne mostly, and Father DiUlio somewhat, but mostly Father Coyne to meet all of the great donors that he had started with. He was an amazing fundraiser. Unfortunately, Brother Guy wears two hats. He's the director of the observatory and president of the foundation. And that doesn't give him a ton of time to do fundraising. Now the new development director, Chris Kennedy, is doing a magnificent job. And he follows Brother Guy around whenever he can. We're working on that because it's the Vatican pays for a lot of the expenses for the observatory, the research, but the foundation owns the telescope and needs to maintain it. It's not exactly that clear, but somewhat, basically. So in order to keep the telescope going and all that, we need to make sure that we can fund it.
When I started working with you, you were scheduling Brother Guy to talk at countless different venues. I remember his schedule being absolutely crazy and having to fly all over the planet.
Yeah, now he takes trains. So we've had meetings on the train. In fact, I think he's not with us today because he's on a train in Europe somewhere. I share a Google Calendar with him, so I can sometimes tell where he is still.
Working for the Vatican Observatory Foundation, you've been to Chile and Rome. What did you do while you were there, and where did you stay?
Well, yeah, Chile, Fernando Comeron. Fernando works at the ESO, European Southern Observatory, and he was a donor, a monthly donor. I contacted him and said, hey, your donation didn't go through. And so we became friends. And then he said, why don't you bring a group of people down? And I go, okay. So in 2014, there were about 15 of us went down to Santiago and went to La Silla, Paranal, and Alma, among other things, in about 12 days. Of course, we went to Valparaiso and went to the Pisco factory for Pisco sours. It was an incredible trip, and it was just so easy. Fernando opened doors to us that no one else could do. You know, we'd fly from place to place mostly because the distances are so long, you know, and then a bus ride all the way up into the Atacama Desert. Paranal was incredible. That's where the very large telescope is. And I think they're four of them, not just one. They work together. And it's just an incredible thing. We saw them open up, and we then you can look way down across the desert and saw the red flash. Some people said they saw it, some others didn't. But it, Paranalda, I don't know if any of you know about it. It's way up in the desert and not as far as Alma, but the residence is like this mound. You walk down into this ramp to get inside, and this is this huge like mound in, looked like an Etruscan tomb to me, but that's just me. And you go in there and you go down this ramp, and there's a little park down there and a swimming pool and a little fountain and a cafeteria and rooms, and they're all underground so that you don't disturb any of the observing. Evidently, they used it for one of the James Bond movies as the bad guy's hideout. Fernando came with us the whole time and explained things. And on that trip, there were, I think, five astronomers, or Faith Vilas, who used to run or worked at Cerro Tololo and also at the MMT. And she's continued to be a friend. I had dinner with her here about a month ago. Brother Guy, Fernando Comeron, and can't remember his name. He worked down in Chile with Joyce and Dante Miniti, and then 10 of us that aren't astronomers. But it was an amazing trip. It really was. And the last stop, we were gradually going up higher and higher and higher, so we would get acclimated to the heights. And so we got up into the San Pedro de Atacama, the desert, the high desert. And one morning they woke us up at 5 and drove us up in the middle, kind of before it got light, so we could have breakfast with these eggs cooked on the geysers. They have like one of the biggest geyser areas in the desert. It's incredible. In fact, Professor Chris Impey, he's the one that said, make sure you go to the geysers because that's really cool. And the skies were so clear. I mean, the whole thing was amazing. Then the next day we went up to Alma, the Atacama Large Millimeter Submillimeter Array. The Atacama Desert, San Pedro's at about 12,000 feet already. So then we had to get up to 16,000. First, we went up partway, and each of us had to have a doctor's visit to check your blood pressure and things like that to see if it was healthy or it wasn't dangerous for any of us to go up there. In fact, Dante was with us, and he said, okay, don't take any coffee in the morning because that might raise your blood pressure and then you won't, be able to go up. We did that. And the only one of our group who was not allowed to go was Brother Guy.
Oh, come on.
I know. Well, because he'd had that sinus infection forever and was taking antibiotics, and they said, you can't go. Even the people who work up there could only go up there and work for 6 hours a day. And all the computers are in this airtight lab so that they can continue to function at that altitude. But we all got up there and they gave us hot chocolate. We also had oximeters. They checked us constantly for oxygen. And we had our own little oxygen thing. So of course we were giggling a lot. And it was just incredible. But the director of that part, I know he was a French man and I can't find his name. He was great. He gave us this tour. I mean, they have, 66 of these radio telescopes, and each one is 12 meters across. I don't know. They were huge. And each one is driven on this like special tractor thing. And it was incredible. So they can move them over depending on what they're going to look at and everything. It was an amazing experience. And just the sky at night, like especially at Paranal, I remember we went out and they give you all the red flashlights so that you don't bother the astronomers because they were working. We went when there was no moon too, so we would be able to see as many stars as possible. And the Milky Way, I've never seen that. You don't see that in Los Angeles or Rome. It was like Disneyland. It was just incredible, absolutely incredible. You could see your shadow by the stars.
Seriously? Wow.
It was amazing. And I think Fernando and Andrea Dudik, who was on our board, also was on the trip, and they had small telescopes. So we would look through a little bit of that. You know, there's the Southern Cross and the large Magellanic Cloud and all that. It was magical. It really was. So if we can ever talk Fernando, of course, now he's in Germany, but if we could ever talk him into doing this again, I would go in a heartbeat. It was an incredible trip.
That sounds like it. Unfortunately, I think you've quashed any ambitions I might have of visiting high-altitude observatories, because while we're recording this, I have an enormous mug of coffee in front of me. Is there any possibility of doing another Rome or Chile trip? Because those sound awesome.
Right. Well, wouldn't mind redoing the Rome ones, too. I love that place. There's so many Jesuit things there to see. And you see on the top of St. Ignatius Church that they didn't build the dome because they ran out of money or something. So Angelo Secchi built his telescopes up there, his lab up there. Chris Graney knows all about those details. He explained a lot of them to us when he was on that trip. He knows all that. Jesuit Rome is you go to the rooms of Ignatius where he lived and died and say mass there and the Gesù. And, you know, that's now we can go into the Biblicum, which I've been to with other groups where Paul Muller will be working. And, you know, when we went to the last Rome trip, we also went to Florence. So we went to Galileo's house and we went to the Galileo Museum, and Galileo's finger is in there. It's a little bony, but it was in the museum.
Ew.
I've been so lucky, you know, to do all of these things and meet all these people, and it's amazing.
Working for the Vatican Observatory Foundation all those years and traveling to all those different locations, you must have met some big name scientists along the way.
Well, yeah, just a few. I made a little list so I don't forget somebody that people might be interested in. The most famous one, probably, I was up at Berkeley at a talk that Father Bill Steger, I don't know if any of you knew him, he was great. I mean, he was a cosmologist and did retreats for nuns. I mean, yeah, he got hit in the head once as a kid and they said he probably wouldn't do anything that intelligent. Well, yeah, cosmology, really? I was at the Center for Theology and Natural Sciences, which is an organization in Berkeley, the town of Berkeley, and it's kind of part of their theological union and all that. I sat behind Charles Townes and his wife. He's Nobel Prize. I mean, I didn't talk to him, but that's the most famous person. There were only about 15 of us there, so I probably should have said hello, but I didn't. And then, of course, Chris Impey has written a million books, and he's a huge astronomer at the University of Arizona. The other one is Nicole Stott, an astronaut artist. Nicole, her husband really contacted us at some point and said, you know, I forget what he does, something with radio, something or other. Do you think Nicole and I could do anything for the Vatican Observatory? And of course we went, yes, of course. So I went down to Houston to meet Nicole. She had just gotten back from the space station and she wanted to know all about the Vatican Observatory. And I wanted to know what it was like what happened to your hair up on this space station, you know, little things like that. But anyway, they became involved with us and she gave a wonderful talk in Los Angeles at our annual dinner one year. And she's still a friend and I've seen her at some of these. She's now an artist and does a lot of things for kids. They paint space suits for kids with cancer and things like that. She's an amazing woman. Anyway, Nicole Stott.
Brother Guy and I interviewed Nicole and her husband, Chris, for one of our podcasts.
Oh, you did? Anyway, and I've met Ed Krupp, who is the director of the Griffith Observatory. He was a friend of Father Coyne's. Other people like Jim Bell gave a talk for us. He's at the Arizona State, Postcards from Mars or something was his book. Lynn Rothschild, I know better. She's an astrobiologist at NASA Ames. In fact, she did a movie with us and she's great. She was a great friend, not Catholic or anything, of Bill Steger's. So she's up in Northern California. Faith Vilas, I told you about here. She's at the Planetary Society Institute now and does a lot of that. And then I've met people at the Adler. But of course, in Pasadena, I've been to JPL, Caltech, you know, JPL, what, three times?
Yeah, I've seen that picture of you, Brother Guy, and Justin at JPL. Yeah. I'm not jealous or anything.
Yeah. But because of my volunteering with Mount Wilson, I know John Mulcahy, who's with the Carnegie Observatories. He's the director of their observatories. I've done things at Caltech. And then there are the summer school people, especially Bethany Ellman, who's a good friend. In fact, good enough friend that she texted me last Sunday and said, I just got back from Greece for an astronomy thing. You want to go to dinner? So we did. And Bethany is pretty amazing, I think, besides being a really good tennis player. She was a Vatican Observatory summer school student right after her time at Oxford. She's 40 years old. She teaches planetary geology at Caltech. And she has a NASA lunar orbiter mission to go up in space next June. So she's really cool. She's very, it's amazing what she does. She was, last year, she wasn't around during the summer because she was doing the decadal survey for planetary science, I think.
It's funny that you should mention the decadal survey. I've been giving a series of reports this summer to the Warren Astronomical Society about the decadal survey, including my first one talking about the flagship mission to Uranus, which I am just absolutely enthused about. I've been grousing for decades about the fact that Uranus and Neptune are the ugly stepchildren of solar system exploration.
And then I was at Mount Wilson for a talk. There was this nice, originally Korean woman from UC Santa Barbara who was giving a talk, because at Mount Wilson, once a month, they have lectures and then observing through the 100 and the 60-inch telescopes. If anybody's ever out here, let me know. She was wonderful. I have a hard time pronouncing her name. It's Unju An. I saw that at dinner, she had also her 12-year-old daughter with her. Afterwards, we went down to the monastery. George Ellery Hale called this place where the astronomers used to stay. No women allowed, of course, until the 60s. Nobody sat next to her and her daughter, so I sat down. I went, so hi, da, 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 da. And then turns out she went to the Vatican Observatory summer school as well. And she goes, oh, Father Coyne was so much fun, and Chris Corbelly, and da, 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 da. You run into people like that. It's pretty amazing.
Well, you might run into people like that. That's why I wanted to have you as a guest.
Well, you know, it's just people I run into, and you know, you play tennis with people who work at JPL, and so, you know, when Brother Guy and I and Justin went up to see the Mars Yard with the Perseverance models up there and talked to the staff up there, it was fascinating. But of course, I called my friend Cece, she's an engineer there, and she came down and chatted. And the reason, one of the ways we got that JPL tour was, well, besides being with Brother Guy, of course, but also because one of the people there is a summer school alumnus. Things just keep happening through the Vatican Observatory. They're everywhere.
I've been amazed at the things I've seen Vatican Observatory summer school students involved with, like dark matter research and such. And the summer school topics are just amazing. I mean, I'd seriously like to be a fly on the wall on the next one and just listen in. I'd love to have some students attending the next summer school write some posts about their experiences as they're happening.
Yeah, you'd have to see if they do that. I don't know.
Have you seen any rocket launches?
No. No, I haven't. I mean, I've seen plumes because of Vandenberg, but, you know, that's a little different. Nothing. No. And I didn't take any astronomy or sciences in school. In fact, George Coyne often would say, you know, if you're doing this, you should probably take at least astronomy 101. Because one time one of the donors or potential donors said, so what kind of telescope is the VAT, a refractor or a reflector? And I'm going,
big spin cast mirror.
Yeah, it's got two mirrors, three mirrors. How many mirrors? I know. So it goes, reflector? Yeah.
So what's next on your plate?
I'll be going to a very interesting gathering in September at Caltech. It's called INSAP, the Inspiration of Astronomical Phenomena. Brother Guy sent me the information and said none of the Spakula people are going, but maybe I'd like to because it's local. So I looked into it, and it was started by George Coyne, Ray White, and Rolf Sinclair. They were sitting in Tucson having coffee discussing Nightfall, the book by Asimov, I don't know, science fiction thing.
I read Nightfall as a teenager.
Yeah, I'm reading it now because I never have. And they decided that they needed to get astronomy and art and culture and things together. So this is, well, I have to read it, Intersection of Science, Humanities, Art, and Culture. The first one they did was at Castle Gandolfo. And then they've moved it around to England and here and there and everywhere. This year it's in Pasadena. And I see that Chris Impey in the opening talk, it lasts like 4 days. The opening talk, Chris Impey will dedicate part of it to Father Coyne. I figured I have to go. And Mount Wilson will be giving talks, and some of the other scientists I know, and it'll be interesting.
We're going to have to make sure you have plenty of VOF literature and freebies to hand out at this seminar.
I asked Chris Kennedy to make sure I have a new big name tag. And maybe I'll get a t-shirt, one of those polos on the website that says Vatican Observatory.
Where were you, Katie, during the 2017 solar eclipse? Were you doing something interesting with the Jesuits, or were you on your own?
I was with my grandkids up in Wyoming. It was a phenomenal. I'm so glad the Jesuits told me that there's a 360-degree sunset thing, because otherwise I wouldn't have noticed. I was up there with, well, my daughter, sister, brother-in-law, and my two grandkids. That was phenomenal.
That's a wrap for this podcast. The audio editor for this podcast was myself, Bob Trembley. You can listen to our other podcasts and read our posts on the web at vaticanobservatory.org. If you'd like to attend our full moon meetups live, join our Sacred Space Astronomy community, also at vaticanobservatory.org. Clear skies, everyone!